Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. And just a quick note, this conversation was recorded in mid-2020, when our Brisbane ring cycle was still scheduled for the end of the year. It's since been postponed until October and November 2021. You can find more information at opera.org.au/ring. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to OA TV. And as I said right at the beginning of this series, that you would see not only people that you're used to seeing on stage, singers and conductors, but also you would see people who work behind the scenes. And one of those people is Cliff Bothwell. He's the technical director of Opera Australia, and he has a huge responsibility, getting a show on every night, making sure the curtain goes up every night, and the teams of people that make an opera possible is a massive responsibility. So Cliff, welcome to OA TV.
Thank you very much, Lyndon.
Cliff, you're a Queenslander.
I am a Queenslander, that's correct.
And whereabouts in Queensland are you from?
I'm from Brisbane.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I spent a bit of time in Mackay as a young lad, but mainly in Brisbane.
Yeah. And in your early life, were you interested in the theatre at all? Or?
I was very lucky. I started when I was 13. Mm-hmm. I basically stumbled into a school hall and then developed a love and a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And then was working backstage from the age of 13 all the way through while I was doing my degrees and my other licences along the way. So, yeah.
And speaking of your degrees, you were doing an engineering degree?
I did, but I decided that that wasn't the passion for me.
But then you decided to get your pilot's licence.
I did. I flew for a couple of years there. But then again, it's like most things, you've got this little thing in the back of the mind always asking you to go back to something that you love. So I went back to theatre.
But when you were flying, what sort of things were you doing?
Oh, basically taking off, landing, standing there, waiting. Mm-hmm. A lot of waiting. Yeah, it was only small aircraft.
But you were flying people around? Or
Yes. Yeah. I was in Winton for a while. I was in Darwin for a while.
Winton, the site of the first Qantas landing.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it wasn't much sort of like a Qantas landing for me.
No, I know Winton very well.
Yes.
Well, that must have been interesting, you know.
Well, it was great fun for a young lad, but then a situation happened that I had needed to come back to Brisbane, and at that stage in life, Compass was folding, Ansett had folded, so it wasn't really a career path. So I decided to go back to what I believe and I knew very well, which was theatre.
Yeah. So this, with this sort of background, with an engineering background and a mechanical background, I'm sure that's tremendously useful to in your current role as technical director. I mean, there are teams of people, the mechanists, the electricians, the electrics team, stage management that you have to look after every night. How many people would be working on an opera backstage?
Oh, up to probably about 40 or 50 sometimes, including the dressers. We have 10 dressers, we have 5 wiggies, we have 12, 14, sometimes 22 mechs, 6 lighting, 2 sound, and AV, depending on what, if we're doing a digital program or a normal program, or we grow up and come down as required.
And you mentioned stage management. When we're doing a big show like AIDA, particularly a digital show, how many queues would the stage manager be queuing every evening?
Oh, upwards of 200, 300.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot of queues, and basically the integrating the movement of the singers with the panels movement, with scenery going on, with the lighting cues, follow spots, calling people to the stage. It's a constant talking the whole night.
Yeah.
It's a very skilled position.
And also the workplace health and safety responsibility.
Very important for all of us. And that's one of the key things we have to keep on top of every show and every changing production. We actually look at all the risks involved and go, well, how do we minimise it and how do we eliminate it? Mm.
Recently, we've started doing big digital productions with enormous panels, 3 metres or 7 metres high and 2.5 metres wide.
Yep.
Could you just tell us a little bit about what's the difference between a digital production and a physical production from a technical point of view?
It's more it's more combining the two. In the older school shows, we'll call them older, basically you set the show and generally it just was just sit there. What we're asking of our crew and our technicians now is actually to make the scenery move around the people a lot more, also then create vision on top of it, and deliver a more vibrant and changing environment that hopefully we believe, well, I think it's been successful so far, is engage with the audience and get them to get out of the TVs and come see the shows.
Yeah. But, you know, from a technical perspective, and by technical I mean on a day-to-day basis of operating a show like that, as you say, the older productions are very big, they're cumbersome, so you need a lot of mechs to run that.
Correct.
So how is that different to the sort of technology and the techniques, I guess, that you need to run a digital show?
You need more upskilled people. You need people who are on the ball. We hopefully, and then one of the main goals is to reduce our workload on our staff, to actually be able to put, say, an AIDA in, do a rehearsal in the morning of AIDA, and then do a production of Stuarda that night or Devereux that night. And the idea being that we don't actually have to do a very heavy and cumbersome changeover between. Usually we can limit it down to probably an hour, whereas at the moment we're working for 3 to 4 hours, very, very, very heavy and tedious work for the crews. So the idea is to reduce that kind of physical work onto the crews.
Yeah. And as everyone knows, we're probably the busiest opera company in the world.
Yep.
And so we don't have free evenings.
No.
And we don't have dress rehearsals in the evening. We have them in the mornings.
Correct.
And as you say, that means setting everything up, changing it over, and then having a different opera that evening.
That is one of the biggest challenges we have. The one that even bigger than that is actually doing a Saturday matinee into a Saturday evening performance. Usually we have 3 to 4 hours, or sorry, 4 to 5 hours in an afternoon to do a changeover for an evening performance after a morning rehearsal. On a matinee day, we'll finish a rehearsal or finish a performance at about probably about 4 o'clock, and we have to be ready to put a performance up that night by 7:30.
Yeah. So how many crew would you need to do that if we're coming out of a big show in the afternoon?
Oh, 22 to 30 mechanists. Generally, run two crews. We have two crews of lighting, which would probably end up being, you know, 8 to 12 people.
Yeah.
So it's a massive undertaking. It's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
A lot of labour, a lot of people working, and a very skilled team choreographing, going between that opera and this opera with the least amount of movements required. A bit like playing a game of chess.
Yeah. And as you know, I've seen it backstage from the perch, and people are working incredibly hard very quickly.
Yep.
But it's all coordinated, and when it works well, it's working like clockwork. It's a fantastic thing. But later this year, we'll be doing The Ring and AIDA in Brisbane.
Yep.
And no one's ever done that before, where we have a performance of one of the operas from The Ring on one night, and the next night it's AIDA. And then the following night we'll have a different opera from The Ring, and then after that AIDA. Do you want to talk us through the logistics of doing that?
We're very lucky that this AIDA and this Ring cycle we're doing digitally. So that actually has helped us reduce the mammoth effort of coming from a Ring into another production. So we're very fortunate to have that foresight to actually go and produce these shows. AIDA was successful in Sydney when we did it, and for us to do it in the Ring cycle, it just added to the opportunity to put on opera for the people. So instead of having to remove a large set, which would take us a day in the normal Ring cycle between shows, we can do it in, say, 4 hours. So in one case, we actually are doing an AIDA into one of the Ring cycle productions.
That's fantastic.
So we're very lucky.
Yeah. Yep. And Cliff, a couple of years ago, you became a father.
Yes.
A little boy, Henry.
Yes.
Does Henry, does he have any aptitude for the theatre, do you think?
He likes to sing.
Oh, well, you've got a fantastic voice. I've said this a million times.
Yes, but I never trained, so I'm not going to start singing for you, Lyndon, no matter what.
But so Henry likes to sing?
He does. He likes the theatre. He likes going to the theatre. He loves seeing productions. Mm. He loves music. So we're very lucky that he engages in what we do. Mm. So he likes dance. So if any luck, he'll be either a singer or a dancer.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not a backstage person.
Yeah. Well, Cliff, thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure.
And thanks for talking to us. I'm not going to ask you to sing.
Thank you.
But what's your favourite opera?
Oh, there's many, but Turandot would be one of my favourites.
Well, as it happens, this is purely coincidental. We're actually streaming Turandot. So, Cliff Bothwell, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.